sexual paralysis, becomes a renowned dancer at the local nightclub. The film will show on January 31st at 6:30 and 9 at the Hollywood Theater, 4122 Northeast Sandy Boulevard, Portland, Oregon. Over 20 films will be screened in this year's 24th annual Cascade African Film Festival, beginning on January 31st, running through March 1st. For more information, please go to our website at CABE and click on the right-hand side of the page under Community Events.
Whoa, holy smokes. Coming up with host Lisa Loving. Today's guest is Imani Mohammed with the 2014 Youth Summit. That's Youth, Y-O-U-T-H, Youth Organized and United to Help. This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from the Clinton Street Theater, featuring independent and revival films, the Rocky Horror Picture Show every Saturday at midnight, as well as movie night. The Clinton Street Theater is located at the corner of Southeast Clinton and 26th in Portland. Schedule and information at 503-238-5588 or cstpdx.com. This KABU program has also been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Merrill Hurst University, dedicated to helping working adults revitalize their careers with 5 part-time MBAs, including the Green MBA in Sustainable Business. Evening, weekend, and online options help students keep days free for work and life commitments. Merrillhurst.edu.
It's 8:05 a.m. and you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Wednesday Talk Radio and I'm your host, Lisa Loving. Today, Portland's 8th annual Youth Something 8th, Youth Organized and United to Help, creating charitable and educational events for our youth, providing resources and workshops, using the youth culture as a medium through the 5 elements of hip-hop. And we're psyched once again to be live in Studio 2 with Imani Mohammed. She's the Youth Summit founder. Imani, thanks for coming all the way over here.
Thank you. Good morning to everyone.
I have to say, now, this is the best lineup I've ever seen for the Youth Summit, and our listeners are going to be a little bummed out because everyone's going to hear what you have going, and everyone's going to want to come. Everybody's going to want to come, and so I'm just putting that out right now. I just want to take a minute and go through what the dynamic workshops are.
Sure.
And some of these are for adults and for kids. Like, we started doing that, I think, last year, the year before.
Yes.
Like bringing
yes.
in the families, wrapping around the whole family. So,
right.
Soulfly Groovement. With adults and youth. That's with Erica Brannon. She was here last year.
Yes.
So that's a movement. That's a dance and movement exercise workshop.
Correct. Yeah, she uses a exercise called Nia, which infuses martial arts, yoga, Zumba, all types of some elements all in one type of dance. It's really fun.
She's an amazing person, too.
She is.
And then you've got Royal Harris.
Yes.
Holistic Approach to Health for Youth. That's mm-hmm. like, I'm rocking a little bit here. Royal Harris is, I'm going to say he's a unique person in the Portland community.
For sure.
He has his hands on, his feet on a couple of horses that are galloping down the road. So
right.
that right there, that's amazing.
And he happens to be that's my cousin. So there's blood there. But yes, he definitely is a very talented, I mean, he comes from a background of, behavioral health. Justice Center. He's done a lot of work with young people in the Justice Department. I mean, he's awesome.
Literacy.
Right.
I love that.
Right.
Okay. And here's another one. Made a mistake. So what? That's with adults and youth, and you're having Emmanuel Price.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes.
With the Scafe guys. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Second chances are for everyone. These are real rubber meets the road people and organizations.
Exactly.
You're probably not reading a lot about them in the daily newspaper, although maybe you are. Being calm and focused under stress. This is an adult workshop with Dr. Jay Klusky. Talk about that.
Yeah, Dr. Jay has been a part of the Youth Summit. This, I want to say, is going on his third year. I met him through NEBA, Joyce Taylor. And he, I mean, obviously he's a doctor, right? So he's done a lot of research with parents and young people and figuring out how, what the best practice of parenting styles are. So his workshop is going to work with the parents and helping them remain calm, relaxed when it comes to working with teenagers in particular, parenting teenagers, and making sure that as a parent that they are doing the best that they can be, or being the best that they can be, potentially being calm, so that when they are rearing their children or dealing with the teenager issues that happen in life, that they can stay calm and work through it as teenagers, you know, go through all the things that we have went through, emotions, chemicals, changing, all of those things. So yeah, his workshop will be great for parents that need help, or even those that don't need help and just need some more insight on how to be the best parent they can be.
Yeah, and he's doing basic stuff, breathing mm-hmm. and
meditation.
Positioning part. I mean, we could all go to that. We could
right.
all use that. And so, and you said that you learned about Dr. J through NEBA and
yes.
Joyce Taylor. That's Northeast Business Association. People, if you've
yes.
never heard of NEBA, N-N-E-B-A, go online and find them because they do events and all kinds of things
yes.
in North and Northeast Portland. They're business boosters. And I know that the businesses that they're working with are the ones that you listeners want to know about
right.
and go to. I'm just putting that out. Undoing Institutionalized Racism for Youth, Maria Medina.
Yes.
Oh my God. The
yes.
Portland Peace Program Director. Maria, we love you. That right there is worth the price of admission, but I don't think
right.
there is a price of admission. But
it's
anyway.
Free.
Anyway.
So I'll just let me add with that too. Maria, her group also did this workshop at Roosevelt High School and with Portland State students. So we're taking students from Roosevelt and Portland State to bring in this workshop together. So these are young people that actually went through the workshop, went through with and through Maria. So Portland State, Roosevelt, and Maria will continue up for that wonderful workshop.
Maria Medina, also, she has worked with the American Friends Service
yep.
Committee, and she's done different kinds of leadership development programs with youth, and she even did like a video project
mm-hmm.
a few years ago. And
Freedom Schools, she's been doing
the Freedom
Schools,
and that's regional too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think you go all the way
yes.
up to Seattle with that.
Yep.
This is amazing. And listeners, we're talking about the Portland Youth Summit. It's going to be at Portland State February 7th and 8th. That's, I think, the following weekend, not
yes.
this weekend, but the following weekend. And we're just going down the lineup of what's in there because this is one of the juiciest events I've heard of anyone putting on for any reason. And we just had Comic Con, you know, whatever.
Right, right.
So, and so the next one is, what is money really? It's
yes.
for adults, and it's with Keon Jabbar Eastell. Talk about that.
So
did I say his name right?
Yes.
Okay.
Keon Jabbar, he has done a lot of study with just understanding currency, understanding what debt really is, how debt, money, paper money, how it really has been exchanged, what money used to be in terms of bartering system. So he's done a lot of research just on explaining the idea and the concept of money and economics. And so with these workshops, is the theme is wealth, health, and our youth. But we're talking about wealth from a bigger standpoint, not wealth like how much money you have in your pocket, but wealth meaning networking and resources and, you know, assets and your net worth. So he's kind of, it's hidden, but his workshop is definitely kind of the crux of the Youth Summit because he's dealing with what money really is and debt in our system, and then also the true meaning of economics. And then from his workshop, you know, people will have a greater understanding of what it means to even have money, so-called money. You
and
know?
And it says participants will learn the difference between money and debt.
Right.
Also, how the Constitution describes money and the abusive practices of collection and debt collectors.
Exactly.
You know, if you made videos of all these presentations, people would run and run and run and watch them for the whole year. I'm just
right.
saying anyone on earth wants to anyone on earth actually wants to attend that. I'm putting that out. And so next we're going Human Rights Education Workshop for Youth with mm-hmm. Carla Dana. I don't know Carla Dana. Talk about that
so
one.
She's actually a high school student. She goes to a school out in, I can't think of the city, but it's a Delphi school. It's actually, may not know, they are actually the Human Rights Youth Commission works closely with the Church of Scientology. And so what they have done is they take a, it's a basically a platform, it's a campaign, very similar to the, that Pam Fon used to kind of work with the human rights, the youth constitution that they created for the city of Portland. So it's very similar to that, but it's more of a UN based, United Nations based
national,
practice.
International point of view.
Exactly. So they have a, they're coming with a DVD. It's a like a PSA talking about young people having rights, getting rights, what it means to have rights as young people. And it's a high school student that's actually presenting it. So I think that's kind of hot that we have a high school student doing a workshop for young people.
Who's a national leader, a teenager who's a national leader.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, we don't get that every day. And then we're looking at self-defense and health. And this is...
Yeah, she is part of Women's Strength. So that's the city of Portland's Women's Strength Police Portland Police Shop or department that they have there that teaches women, but they've also branched into teaching young males self-defense, how to protect themselves from violence and all of these things. So they've been a part for the last couple years, and this is the first year that they're actually doing a workshop. So that was another thing that I did this year. You know, I had a lot of tablers over the years, people VIN, and I'm like, okay, it's time for you to, you know, hey, do you want to do more than just VIN? And so she's one of our many supporters that wants to do more and wanted to do more. And so they're going to actually teach a self-defense workshop for males and females at the summit.
And here, this last one is one that is really close to my heart because I it's the art of poetry. It's for kids. Presenter is John Slaughter. Learning how to make it a business. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Exactly.
You know, there's so many. I just have to say, when it comes to poetry, when you love completely segregated, it freaks me out. It freaks me out a little bit. So, but the money seems to fish, but the money flows to the Anglo-Saxon poets. It really does. And they don't seem like you don't see a lot of Black poets nominated for Oregon Book Awards and stuff like that. And yet, the African and African American poetry communities in our area are just rich. They're like the richest gardens imaginable. They never intersect.
Exactly.
And but I love it that people are just coming out and saying, do poetry. It's good for you. It's good for you.
Whoever, anyone that knows Portland, he works at Benson High School. He's a Benson Techman. And he actually started a poetry group at Benson. But not only that, he does his own poetry. He's part of a rap group, Old Dominion, that's here in Portland as well. But one of the things in speaking about the poets here in Portland, you know, we have wonderful poets, Taria and Walita, who just recently, you know, launched their books and have done some book signings in the last couple months. And
Taria Autry and Walita Imarisha, who were a live poetry duo, and now they both do have on the independent bookstores, their books are right next to each other, which is adorable.
Yeah, so you know, it's kind of on the rise now, where, like you said, the poetry environment here has been segregated. But then when you have these two dynamic, you know, women that have come out, it's starting to kind of wake up that poet energy that's in many of us. So with his workshop, I think in the business side of it, letting young people know that, you know, you can write all those poems that you write while you're listening to your teachers in school or whatever, you could actually make a business. Letting young people know that there are,
you know, this is Wednesday Talk Radio. We're live in the studio with Imani Mohammed. We're talking about the 2014 Portland Youth Summit. It's it's February 7th and 8th. It's at Portland State?
Portland State. One big change this year, over the years, it's been at Smith Hall. Mm-hmm. So February 8th, all the workshops will be in Kramer Hall on the second floor. So just a change. It's one block up from Smith Hall. The Friday night is the talent show, February 7th. And then February 8th are the workshops, keynote speaker, all of that good stuff.
Who's the keynote?
A brother by the name of Nuri Muhammad. He is a young student minister under Minister Louis Farrakhan from Indianapolis. He looks like he's 16. One of the reasons why I brought him out is he started at 19 as a student from, you know, an F student all the way to an A student, very successful, created businesses for his family, self-entrepreneur, and a very, very great motivational speaker. And he's connected with many youth. There's a YouTube clip that he spoke at the Indianapolis public school system, their Dr. King celebration a couple years ago. And just his message, regardless of his faith background, his message to young people is very, to kind of add some fire to the young people. I mean, we have great workshops, but also also be able to give them a really dynamic speaker. We are bringing Brother Nuri Muhammad, but we also are bringing Jasiri X back as well. And Jasiri X will do a workshop as well as host our talent show on Friday night.
Jasiri X is hosting the talent show?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. Oh, my
Absolutely.
God.
Yes.
Okay. Listeners, look, we are talking about really a signature event in our region. I don't actually know where anyone even summit. This is a kind of a radical event. I'm putting that out. It's for youth and families now. It's coming from a straight ahead, I'm going to say, Muslim community, hip hop community. And the phone lines are open. I want to put this out to you. Listeners, are you part of the hip hop community? What do you think are the biggest issues that you're looking at right now? Because I think some of these issues, maybe they change and evolve over time. What are some of the issues you're looking at right now? And I'm wondering if anybody saw the column in the Fader about what is Black Portland. I'm just putting this out. This is so freaking fascinating. Two of Atlanta's most exciting rappers named their new tape after Portland. It's called Black Portland. And they're basically people. This is fascinating. Last Tuesday, Young Thug and Bloody J released an 11-track collaborative tape combining new songs with previously released singles, Danny Glover and Let's Go Play. It's a thrilling ride, but I was sold before I heard the first track because the tape is called Black Portland. And so this is a column in the Fader. It's amazing. So if you're listening right now, we would just love to hear some, you know, it'd be great if we could hear someone talk about what do our young people need? What's happening in your community? People are really, they're kind of freaked out about this concept of the new recording called Black Portland. And that's amazing. Mm-hmm. So anyway, people, 503-231-8187 is the number to call. I want to ask you what you think about that first, Imani. What do you think about that? Like the whole concept of Black Portlanders and other people are picking that up and saying, you know, I'm going to hold on to that. I'm going to hold that up.
Right. Well, without knowing or even hearing their music, I don't know that I could actually speak on the validity of if they are really considered Black Portland. I'll just say that. However, I will say that many of us that have grown up here in the city of Portland, we have a unique perspective on what it means to be Black, but also operating and maneuvering in a predominantly white city. And so, you know, I think as you grow and you learn and you travel and you understand that the world and the United States and cities are not just like Portland, you actually have a deeper understanding of what it means to be successful in the city of Portland. What I mean by that is success, you know, there are a lot of ladders and holes and loops and everything you have to jump through because we do live in a state, in a city that is predominantly, you know, Caucasian, is white. A lot of behaviors, a lot of things that come out through institutions, organizations, and things like that are not necessarily in favor for someone that's not white. Saying that, I find that I love being in Portland because things that you can do here, if I took this summit to New York, for example, they've probably got 30 youth summits that happen on a daily basis. So it is very unique to be able to start something here, kind of grassroots, remain grassroots, and also stay true to the community and not necessarily have the need to have a big sponsor or have to have a title sponsor to make an event like this happen. So I find the work that I do here very unique, and I take pride in it. And like I said, if I went to a bigger city, I'm just one of many, you know, but in the city of Portland, I can be one of a few that are actually doing this work. So it has its pros and cons, but at the same time, I think that the work here in the city of Portland and our young people and Black youth in particular is so vital because a lot of history gets lost in terms of a city like this through textbooks. We could talk about, you know, gentrification. I mean, there's all of these things that get lost in the city of Portland. So myself and people that I work with, we have an innate reason to keep our culture together, keep our history together, and embark it and put it on the young people and let them understand. You know, I work at a community center Boys and Girls Club, and when I talk to young people, I mean, they have no connection to MLK being Union Avenue, for example. I mean, just those little bits of history of Portland. And so I find it, you know, with young people and explaining to them, and I take pride in that. So to me, that's what Black Portland is about. And I will kind of look, I'll check out their CD because I find it very unique and very interesting that they would take that all the way over in the East Coast. But we are different. I mean, there is a different mentality that has to operate here versus a mentality in LA or New York or Atlanta. So it's very unique.
And the person that wrote this, is she's posing the question, what is Black Portland? It's pretty fascinating. And we have a couple callers, but I want to say really quickly that, first of all, Imani Muhammad, I never asked you, why did you start the Youth Summit? I feel as though we need to do that every time we do this show.
Sure. Yes.
Why did you, you know, things you've had to climb over to make it happen every year?
Sure. The summit started in 2007, February 2007, and it actually was sparked from a death of a young man, 14-year-old Devontae Lightfoot. You know, I tell this story, but I think it never needs to not be told. It has to be told because his death is the spark of what we do 8 years running. So
you worked with him. You knew him.
I worked with him. I was his teacher in middle school. And so he was a freshman at Benson High School when he was killed. And the young man who was accused of killing, very connected. I was actually there at the crime scene the day that he was killed, and I had no idea that it was him. That evening, I got a phone call from some of my former students saying, "Miss Muhammad, that was Devontae that was shot and killed." A couple days went by. I was kind of just rocked and couldn't figure out why and what to do and how do we just stop this senseless, so-called senseless violence. And so a couple days went by. I had this vision that I wanted to bring all the young people that I knew, all the young people that knew Devontae, have them on a panel, have youth moderators, and bring out teachers, adults, community leaders, whoever, have them fill the audience and let them listen to young people have a dialogue with themselves. Not us judging them, not us saying, well, you can't say this, but you should say this. We let them have just a platform, and just they were completely raw, they were completely uncensored, and they felt good after that. So 3 weeks after his death, we had the first summit. Of course, when I had the event, I never envisioned to continue to do it, never envisioned to be a community organizer, never. None of this was part of my visioning. My plan was to have an event and bring attention to Devontae's death. Period. From that, young people said, you know, we got to do this again. Yeah, we need more of this, and this has to happen more often. So we just kept going. Every February, we just had another summit, and each year we've added different components. Then the third, and we've been at Portland State since the third annual, having different connections. So the last 3 years, I will have to say, and I got to give her a shout out, Dr. Alma Trinidad from Portland State, the social work department. She's partnered with us, and she actually writes the Youth Summit in her freshman curriculum class. And they work with us all throughout the summit planning. And then they, from their experience with the summit, they actually create their own community event for their spring term. So they actually have taken on the Youth Summit as like a case study. And it's pretty awesome because, again, I never started this thinking that it would be as big as it is now. And so, of course, there's community supporters. To answer your question real quick, how and what makes me continue to do it. Again, as I stated earlier, I don't have big title sponsors. I'm not looking for, you know, U.S. Bank or any bank or anything to take it over based on money. And the reason why is because I want to stay true to my voice, stay true to the youth's voice and our community's voice. And in order to do that, you just can't have strings attached. And so we do have sponsors. I mean, I can't knock some of our sponsors, the City of Portland, Multnomah County Health Department, Portland State, of course. But at the same time, because I've had this for 7 years, it's on my terms. And so when I first started this, it was all grassroots money. It was my little part-time paycheck coming out, and I'm putting my own money behind it. And about at the fifth year, the summit started paying for itself. So based on vendors, based on donations, I would break even. But for many years, you know, I was in the hole and I didn't care of what happens at the summit. I mean, the networking, the young people, the inspiration in one day. I mean, it's incredible. So where we're at now is that I can actually go to people now and say, here's 7 years of community work that we've been able to do. You should back this. And, you know, at this point, people are like, you're right. I don't know where we were. It's like, okay, you know, but now I have the proof to say this is why you should back it. And so that's what makes me continue to do this. And as you stated earlier, there is no other event in the city of Portland, whether it's ordinance.
The Freedom Schools are really awesome. And so yes. With the Freedom Schools, I can't remember who does them now, American Friends Service Committee, I'm mm-hmm. not sure.
They do.
But they have wonderful people in Seattle to do these workshops. I feel as though they happen in the summertime. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I do want to say we are talking about the Portland Youth Summit 2014. It's at Portland State. The following weekend, we're saying February 7th and 8th. You should consider going to the interwebs and looking up PortlandYouthSummit.org. We've got callers. Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Doug on the phone. Doug, what's going on with you today?
Hi, I'm one of those old guys who support the concept. I guess I'm not quite old. I'm only one of the things that has always been noticed by me when I talk to people who are beginning their lives is finding a and working is very helpful to, first of all, yourself, also to your community. And I see this as being the Youth Summit as being able to demonstrate personal power right. in self and in work. And I really appreciate that you're doing it.
Awesome, Doug. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Okay.
You know, it's interesting what he said there because mm-hmm. I'm thinking of, I should probably not have had so much coffee. I'm thinking about the guy in history who was from the Caribbean, and he was a champion of small business enterprise, Marcus Garvey.
Yes.
Like this concept of self-determination and creating opportunities for yourself. That workshop about poetry, and you're like, well, how to market the poetry. You know, in past years, sometimes you'll see Portland is named the most entrepreneurial city in America, and
right.
it's because people cannot get jobs. Seriously.
Exactly.
That's why.
Exactly.
So can you talk about that a little bit? Like, so, I mean, the unemployment rate for African-American and African youth is staggering. It's uh-huh. like, it's actually not, I don't believe it's even calculated by the state employment department.
Right. Well, the last numbers that I found, and this was working with Emmanuel Price, who's over SCAFE, and that's SCAFE.org. But we were just talking, and I think he has the statistics that it's 18% of unemployment rate of among Blacks, where the national average in Oregon is 9%.
It's generally double. It's generally considered to be double, but for
right.
youth, it's often considered to be
extremely high. I just actually read an article in Chicago, 92% of youth in Chicago are unemployed. But in the concept, as you mentioned, Marcus Garvey, who, honorable man.
He's not.
Yeah, exactly. Anyone that go, I'll leave that alone. Yes. So
anyone
Marcus Garvey. Exactly. From Garvey all the way, you know, to you have Noble Drew Ali, you have many of the Black leaders, you know, who were about doing for self. And that was so that you were not dependent on someone else to give you food, clothes, and shelter. Current day, and I mentioned him before, Minister Louis Farrakhan, he actually launched a economic blueprint website, which is an investment. It's the National Treasury, an investment program for Blacks, but also for anyone that wants to not depend on the government, which we know is not working. I mean, it's bailouts, all those things is proof that we have to do for self. Self-determination piece, it's a science of business and it's a science of economics that has been removed from schools, but has been removed from a lot of cultures, particularly Black youth. The summit is that we want to get back to, okay, I have a skill. What can I do with that? You know, and being able to figure out how to market ourselves, how to market ourselves, how to take pride and invest in ourselves. You know, for again, as I mentioned about myself, I didn't look into this being an event organizer, but now I'm an expert, you know, in the community about planning events. Now, years of it and doing other things, I could actually write out how to do it. But of course, when you start doing something that's your passion and your love, you just go out and do it, and you have an investment of yourself, and you take out your own money, and you take out your own dream, and you just go out and do it. And so I think that piece, as the caller Doug talked about, people power, that's where we have to get back to it, and get back to helping our young people find out what their gifts are, and not always driving them to higher education. Because to me, that just pacifies some more time for us to figure out who we are.
Right.
But if we could just give that to them early, think about it in middle school. If we got them on a track early, okay, you have skill line. So by the time they're freshmen in high school, they've got their own gallery or whatever it is. But getting them on tracks so that they can be self-sufficient for themselves.
So Imani was referencing Emmanuel Price's speech, his workshop that's going to be coming up at the Youth Summit. Mm-hmm. Emmanuel Price and that fabulous organization, Second Chances Are For Everyone, SCAFE. They're really amazing people over there, so you should check them out as well. And that workshop is made a mistake, so what? And that's for adults and youth. And we do have some more callers on the phone. We have Joanne on the phone. Joanne, what's on your mind this morning?
Hello. I can't help Cable bring up memories for me. And I heard something about the Church of Scientology, and that brought something up for me. When I was married, I had mental health problems, and my ex-sister-in-law belonged to the Church of Scientology. So we were going to have me be tested to help me with my mental health problems, but we didn't have the money. So anyway, my ex-husband still thinks I'm responsible for the problems in our marriage. Anyway, time goes on. I wanted to ask you, Lisa. I knew you worked for a newspaper, but I didn't know it was a scanner. Is it for the paper?
Whoa, okay, so a lot of stuff on the table there. Is the scanner considered a conservative paper? I don't know what people think about is the political perspective of the scanner.
Okay, wait a minute, just brought up a memory for me, too. Way back when I came to Portland, an old woman, a novice activist, I came across I think it was a feminist newspaper called Uncommon Woman. I think you and a lot of other women were involved in it, had art and poetry.
Yeah, yeah.
And I even have some copies probably tucked away. And I was very impressed with it and that. And so I just find it very interesting that I find out years later you're working, well, whether it's conservative or not, for a newspaper that, I don't know how to describe it. Anyway, I get off the air. I know my energy is not wanted, so, you know, I'm used to that. Goodbye.
It's totally okay. Joanne's always putting her, she's always ringing the bell that is a very critical bell that needs to be heard. You know, sometimes, and reference, it's complicated. And some people want, like, in the TV dinner of their lives, they want the Salisbury steak is yucky. They want the Salisbury steak in one slot, and they don't like it if the stuff gets mixed up. But I'm telling you, life on Earth is more complicated than that. And if you are going by the direction of a crystalline cone of ideological purity, no matter what it is that you think mm-hmm. is the most important thing, I don't know where you're going to be walking. I don't know where you're going to be able to go. So, you know, the newspaper I work at, you know, it's conservative, liberal. It's got all kinds of opinions in it. Here, the Portland Youth Summit, you got the Nation of Islam. You're going to have someone who's maybe connected to the Scientology. You're going to have people who are from all these different local organizations, and it's, you know, the city, the county. It's like, dig it.
Right.
That's the human condition.
Exactly.
I'm just putting that out. So if you want to be around people that are of your kind, I don't know. I don't know how you're going to figure that
right.
out.
Right. And just to throw this in there, everyone that's involved, we have one goal and one mission, and that is to uplift our youth. So I don't care what you can be, whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, if you've got something, if you have a tool, if you have a piece of knowledge that will benefit and uplift our young people, I want to know about it. We want to know about it and make it happen and give the avenue and the platform to make it happen. And it's only for one day or a day and a half. So after that day and a half, if you feel like you have to detox after the Youth Summit, bless your heart, go ahead and do that. But for 1.5 days, Portland is going to be set on fire in a good way with positive energy and people working together, showing that we can collectively do the same mission together, regardless of background.
Joanne, thank you for always asking the hard questions.
Thank you.
Because it's always worth it. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. We're live in Studio 2 with Imani Mohammed. We're talking about the Portland Youth Summit. It's coming up the following weekend, February 7th and 8th at Portland State University. We're talking about youth organized and united to help. Looking at the educational events built around the five elements of hip hop, we have not mentioned the five elements of hip hop yet. But I'm just guessing a lot of people listening didn't know that there were five elements of hip hop, and also that this concept of what is Black Portland is now being discussed in other parts of the country. So again, looking at KBOO Community Radio as a modest crowbar opening the door of your mind. That's all. Just putting that out. And we have more callers. Let's go back to the phone line. We have Erica on the phone. Erica, what's going on?
Good morning. Good morning, Imani and Lisa. This is Erica of Soulfly Groovement. Just wanted to call in.
Right on.
And
good morning.
With you guys. Beautiful, beautiful day. I just wanted to chime in on the greatness of the Youth Summit. I was invited last year, and I did the RBG Fit Workout by Stickman from Dead Prez, and over 80 people were dancing, yep, from little babies to grandmas, and it was just an amazing feeling, and I just wish that everyone who's out there listening comes and supports. Bring your jogging shoes, bring your hearts, bring your minds, bring your souls, bring your children, bring your families, and yeah, I'm just honored, and I'm excited, and I'm ready for this again. I'm excited that Imani is continuously doing this work, and it's overwhelming and in a good way. And, you know, for every one of us who has youth, which a lot of us in this group do, mm-hmm, it's very, very, very humbling to bring your own child to something that's so needed in the community. We need more families and kids all coming together and doing things around the love of hip-hop. And so I just wanted to big everybody up. I wish I could be there with you guys right now, but I'm there in spirit, and I'm here on the phone. And, yes, I'm excited and ready for my workshop. I'm excited and overly humbled to be able to have maybe another 80, 90 people, you know, coming together
in one room.
Right.
Erica, I want to ask you this. So for people that are not going to be able to be there at the Youth Summit, is there some other plant offerings that you have and hook up with you to get some exercise outside the Youth Summit?
Day nights, I teach at I Am Yoga. You can go online, iamyoga.com. And I teach at the yoga studio Friday nights, 8:45 to 9:45. It's the after dark class, and I also teach there Sundays from 12:30 to 1:30, and it's all levels. It doesn't matter. You just come and you enjoy yourself.
Where is that located?
That's located? On 13th in Alberta.
Right on. Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much for calling, Erica.
Thank
Brandon,
you, Erica.
Iraka, talking about Soulfly Groovement. That's going to be one of the dynamic workshops at the 2014 Youth Summit. Let's go back to the phone lines. We've got a full slate of callers. Joe, what's going on with you?
Good morning. I haven't been listening to every word that's been spoken during this show. I've caught most of it, but I heard the Church of Scientology mentioned, and I just want to know in what capacity are they going to be influenced?
We're talking, Joe, about a teen leader from the Midwest who has a connection to the Church of Scientology, and she is going to be speaking to you. So that's one of the youth speaking to you things.
And that whole Church of Scientology, they should be investigated by the Amnesty International, the ACLU, because I've heard a number of horror stories, and I can't remember the name of the book, but there was a young man who was started out there as a kind of like a boy genius, and he was kept.
Joe, I'm going to interrupt you now because we're talking about the Portland Youth Summit. I recognize that you're upset about the Church of Scientology. We're talking about, and all parts of communities are coming together to talk to the youth, and I appreciate your concern. And sometimes I'm wondering if it could ever be possible, okay, for listeners, for KBOO listeners, for people in general as human beings, to consider putting down your weapons and going and sitting next to each other. I'm just putting this out. We had this issue come up with, I had some Portland police officers, a female war veteran who had suffered catastrophic brain injuries, had her on the show late last year. And, you know, what I'm encouraging you to do is challenge your own assumptions and pull off your armor, put your weapons down, and go sit next to and interact with people that you have never met and you don't actually know anything about firsthand. I'm just putting that out, Joe.
Yeah.
Don't mean to totally shut you down like that, but really, that's where I'm going, okay?
And let me just add to, and when I mentioned the Church of Scientology, I mentioned that it's a branch of their community outreach that they do. And I'm just going to, you tell me if you have a problem with the description. Actually, don't tell me, but think about it on your own. Human rights education. Human rights education workshop will teach young people to operate peacefully in a way that they won't be encouraged to be leaders among their peers and help them make healthy decisions and stay on the right path. How is that a problem? I'm just curious. Also, part of their workshop, it's part of the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights. So go search that yourself. But it's about peace. It's about promoting peace and having young people be leaders. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no indoctrination to religious backgrounds. And that's that. So, and it's deliver this. So let's support. That's all I can say.
All right. And anyway, we're going to just go back to the phone lines. Francis is on the phone. Francis, what's going on?
Hi. That sounds really good. I appreciate the work that your guest has been doing all these years. And I would like to make a shout-out to hip-hop. Both of my sons are involved in hip-hop music. My youngest is like, writes all the time. And he's 20-something, 28 now, and he's continued to write beautiful raps. And what has happened is, you know, one thing I would just like to interject. Last week, I think I called when you had police officers on, and my point was that the community policing is geared to people who are afraid of the others. And so many times when I went to community policing meetings in my neighborhood, the others ended up being my sons and their friends in their grandma's house. That's all I was trying to say. We need to really open up the discussion. But I appreciate hip-hop music, and my older son, who has become quite successful, businessman, told me the other day that if it wasn't for Chuck D and Public Enemy, when he was dealing with all the racial profiling and the negative expectations on the street when he was younger, he could have gone the route that some of his friends did who ended up going to prison and things. But Chuck D's words made him think. And he realized there was another way to do this. So the positive input from that music, I credit for keeping my son on the straight and narrow. Now, are you listening to me?
Absolutely.
Okay. I would like at some point, if your guests could reiterate the 5 points mm-hmm. of hip-hop.
Awesome.
Sure.
Thank you, Francis.
I heard that you mentioned Danny Glover. Now, he's a Portland resident. Is he involved in that?
No, Danny Glover was named in the What is Black Portland essay that's coming from thefader.com. Okay. Francis, I just want to say I really appreciate your calling, and thank you.
I would like to add that my son, my baby son, who is not a baby anymore, does have a rap called City of Roses Baby that pretty much says it all about Portland.
Right. Yes, right on.
Thank you, Francis.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling, Francis. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. We're live in Studio 2 with Imani Muhammad. She's the founder and organizer of the Portland Youth Summit, Youth Organized and United to Help. It's coming up at Portland State University February 7th and 8th. Educational events built around the five elements of hip-hop, and those are...
Five elements are hip-hop, starting with the oral historian. You have the DJ, which is obviously the person that keeps the party going. You have the B-boy and B-girls, so the dancers, the pop lockers, the body movement, i.e. soul fly groovement. You also have the knowledge is the fifth element, so the knowledge brings everyone together. And graffiti. Graffiti is the art form, is the written art material. So the five elements, it was labeled as hip-hop, you know, with Afrika Bambaataa back in 1979, I want to say, maybe, eight, something like that. Hip-hop, we know that this is just environments, and it came out of the Bronx, it came out of New York, young people, you know, basically rapping about their condition, rapping about where they're from, their welfare, what they're dealing with, and then there was a term, so it was now labeled hip-hop. So what we see, let me just throw this out there, what you see on mainstream today, BET, Grammys, MTV, all of that, is not the essence of hip-hop. it gets labeled as hip hop because that's all we can throw it at. That's the only title to put it under now, either rap or hip hop. But when we say hip hop, when I talk about the Youth Summit and when we actually start teaching elements are there, we're talking about the griot, like I said, the historian. The MC, that's the name that they use now, but back in the day, it was the person that gave the oral history. When we're talking about graffiti, we're talking about the art, being able to put your thoughts to paper with a pen and make a beautiful art of it. The movement, B-boy and B-girl, is not just pop locking, but it's also being healthy, keeping your body healthy. So this out there, I'm doing a lecture tomorrow night at Portland State University. I was trying to get the room number, but I will just give you my phone number if you want to come to this lecture. It's about the pedagogy of using hip-hop as a venue for social justice. So we're going to deal with the five elements of hip-hop, but also looking at hip-hop and how it has always been connected to a social justice or social equality or some type of movement throughout the world and how other places are using it as well. So that's tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. My phone number, personally call me, 503.
That's wild that you just did that. Okay. Seriously, people, I don't like the word politically correct because it's always an epithet used by right-wingers to trash liberal people. I don't like it. I think it's one of those conservative framing terms. But I'm serious about the concept of the crystalline cone of ideological purity.
Mm-hmm, right.
You know what? Your Salisbury steak and those peas and things and your TV dinner are always going to get mixed up. And dig it. That's all I'm saying. Dig right. it. So let's go back to the phone lines. We have Gordon on the phone. Gordon, what's on your mind today?
Hi. So what a great idea. What a great great opportunity for the children to come together.
And the parents. It wraps around both.
Well, awesome. And I think that's great. The one thing that I do find as the core foundational piece of all of this is teaching all these people how to find that people...
Did you say re-eat? What did you say?
I think the foundational piece of getting people to move into the right direction is feeding them the proper food.
Food, awesome.
Organic,
okay.
Organic food. So first of all, teaching the kids and the parents how to eat again properly and the kind of food to eat, I think you'll remove a lot of the stresses that the body has that
for
takes
sure.
over the mind and gives you inflammation and arthritis and all this stuff. And then you have this whole element that as a child you're dealing with, which you shouldn't be dealing with. So teaching these people, number one, Muslims, they might eat kosher, but they eat crap because everything's been genetically modified. Just because it's kosher doesn't mean it's healthy. So,
Gordon, I'm jumping in real quick right now. I'm jumping in real quick. Now, school him. I'm looking at you, Imani. School him. He said Muslims eat kosher, but they eat crap. School him.
I don't know what Muslims he is referring to. However, there is a book that's out there called How to Eat to Live, book 1 and 2. And I suggest that you go and read that book. You will learn many things in that book. And however, kosher does mean no pork, but there's beyond that. Like you did say, GMOs, I support you on that. We need to get away from Monsanto food products. However, How to Eat to Live is our dietary law. You can check that out. You can learn more about that in that book. It's book 1 and 2 by Elijah Muhammad. And
specifically coming out of the Nation of Islam.
Yes,
we've got a big community of people that have been into eating organic from the beginning.
From the beginning of time.
Vegetarian.
Right. I'm personally vegetarian, been vegetarian for 15 years. The navy bean diet is a very staple in our diet.
Gordon,
but I'll just say this, navy
talk
bean
to me
soup
about what
exactly. And How to Eat to Live transcends all religions. So I give this book away to Erica has a book. I mean, it doesn't matter that it comes from Elijah Muhammad, the basis of the Nation of Islam. So his little comment, I feel like, was a jab. But that's okay, because that's what happens when you put yourself on the line and put yourself out in public. But I can always diffuse that. So check out How to Eat to Live.
Okay.
It's a wonderful book, and it will help you save your life.
I don't know when I turned into such a grouch, you guys. All right. And this is Wednesday Talk Radio. We have a few minutes left in the show. We're live in the studio with Imani Muhammad talking about the Portland Youth Summit coming up the following weekend, February 7th and 8th, and we have Reggae Bob on the line. Reggae Bob, thank you for calling.
Oh, of course. I got a couple of things. I'm going to end with Black Portland, but first of all, Sister Lisa, Sister Imani, Lisa, thanks for having the right people doing the right stuff.
That's right.
Have Sister Imani as a friend.
That's right.
And don't forget, and the things you don't forget, I need to come by and get some more flyers.
Yep.
Of course, are the performance and the talent show, is there a chance that's going to be streamed live? Is there a chance for other folks to see that?
So we'll
live stream. Oh my God.
I'm working on that. But I can say confirmed it will be videotaped. The talent show, which is February 7th, Friday night, will be videotaped.
That's
for sure.
Like the crown of the whole thing somehow.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, a lot of events are like that, and that's a good way to end it. And one of our wonderful cable listeners, you know, every once in a while you get people with the conspiracy theory. They're sitting by the radio waiting for something to conspire upon.
Right.
And I can imagine that fellow a couple of calls ago, he said, oh, Church of Scientology, that's my cue. Mm-hmm. And he called in. Come on now. Believe me, I'm sure he's not.
Reggae Bob. All right. And this is Wednesday Talk Radio. I think we have a couple more callers. We have at least one more caller. We have Markeisha on the phone. Markeisha, what's on your mind this morning?
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So I just wanted to kind of say, being a youth of only 18 in Portland, I wanted to just say what Black Portland and what that means to me. And, you know, the Youth Summit, I remember the first Youth Summit, what was it, in 2007. Now, I was too young to be a part of the panel discussion that they had. And so what I was thinking during was that adults don't, you know, most of the time you not see what's going on, you know, with our youth, especially, you know, not just the teenagers, but it goes down to the preteens and, you know, in middle school and stuff. So just seeing how throughout the years the Youth Summit has evolved, and it has really included, the younger students in the community, helping them learn Portland's history and what's relevant to them, what's relevant to us. So, we need more people like, you know, Sister Imani, that cares about what happens to us, you know, and usually our Black youth. It's clouded by a lot of, the fact that we don't have many African-American teachers in the field. So, you know, many times the students don't feel like they're being understood or, you know, really want to listen to the teacher because they're like, you don't come from where we come from. So, I mean, just having people like, you know, Imani working at the Boys and Girls Club and, you know, starting and doing the Youth Summit every year, I mean, that really just shows that we are in the community and that we have people that care about us. And I really liked what you said about self-efficiency, you know, starting us off early, you know, teaching us how to time. You know, we often see celebrities and, you know, the works of this capitalistic system of competition and stepping on others to get where, you know, where they want. But it's not necessarily promoting us utilizing our talents and coming together. So basically, I'm really excited about the Youth Summit this year. I actually will be one of the poets going up there during the talent run on Friday. So I am definitely excited for that and for the workshops the next day. It's really relevant and it's really on time.
Thanks so much for calling. Thanks, Markeisha, for calling.
Thank you.
That's it for our show. Thanks to our guest, Imani Muhammad, Youth Summit founder. More on her work at PortlandYouthSummit.org. Special thanks to engineer Steve Nasser and Sky the Studio Dog. This show will be podcast on KBOO.FM by the end of today. Grab that link and share it with your friends and family. I'm Lisa Loving. Follow me on Twitter for more news and information about the topics we discuss on this show. Theme music by the March 4th Marching Band. Thanks for listening and stay tuned for Political Perspectives.
good night and farewell. And thank you so much for your patronage.
KBOO is proud to co-sponsor the 24th annual Cascades Festival of African Films, which will be held from January 31st through March 1st at the Portland Community College Cascade Campus and the Hollywood Theater. The 24th season will open with Gree Gree, a drama set in Chad, following a young man who, despite suffering from partial paralysis, becomes a renowned dancer at the local nightclub. The film will show on January 31st at 6:30 and 9 at the Hollywood Theater, 4122 Northeast Sandy Boulevard, Portland, Oregon. Over 20 films will be screened in this year's 24th annual Cascade African Film Festival, beginning on January 31st, running through March 1st. For more information, please go to our West FM and click on the right-hand side of the page under Community Events.
Good morning. It's about 9:01. You're tuned to KBOO Portland. It's time for Political Perspectives. This morning at 9, coming right up, Kristen Yount speaks with Howard Blues about the political climate surrounding the 2014 Olympics in Sochi, Russia. At 10 o'clock, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, Flashpoints continues a multi-part series on Lyme disease. Today, we'll explore how Lyme can cause neurological symptoms that look like MS and Alzheimer's. Also, a giant hospital chain fires nurse leaders on the forefront of the fight for safe and affordable care. At 11 o'clock on the Radio Zine, Roberta Hall hosts a feature on the successes of OSU Divest in obtaining Oregon State University Faculty Senate approval of a resolution asking the OSU Foundation to divest of fossil fuel stocks and the student government's role in the movement. At 11:30, last week marked the fourth anniversary of the U.S. Supreme Court's decision, Citizens United versus the Federal Elections Commission. A panel of legal and media scholars revisits what it means to American democracy today. All that coming up on KBOO, and thanks to you for helping bring it to your generous support. If you're not a member, you can become one now by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. And we begin the hour with Political Perspectives, Kristen Yount speaking with Howard Bloom.
This is Kristen Yount for KBOO Radio. I interviewed Howard Bloom, the philosopher at the end of the universe, on Sunday, January 25th, 2004, International Paleo Psychology Project, which is my personal favorite. Not to be confused with sociobiologists, paleopsychologists discover mass patterns, decision-making processes, and the collective, creative, and the simplest primordial organisms. His published works include The Lucifer Project, The Muhammad Code, and The Global Brain. His most recent book is entitled How I Accidentally Started the 60s. Recently, I picked up on a public statement Bloom made about the upcoming Olympics in Sochi and the complex number of conflict leaders who may command attacks on the Olympics because of the hype. The riots in the Ukraine, the Syrian conflict, a Syrian diaspora that is making a ripple in Central Asia. While these things are happening in isolated areas, both have